Welcome to The Swing,
Canadian political analysis for a global audience.
I'm Yaroslav Baran.
And I'm Heather Bakken. And today we're going to talk about, well, we can't avoid it, Trump's tariffs, pre-budget consultations in preparation for the upcoming federal budget, and a Canadian custom. So, Yaroslav, what we've heard right now for budget 2025 will spend less, invest more, and catalyze private capital to build the strongest economy in the G7. How is our new prime minister going to deliver that?
Well, Heather, first, as a reminder, the government departed from tradition somewhat in not tabling a spring budget. Normally, Canadian federal budgets are tabled in the spring, but because we had a spring election and a very short sitting of parliament before the summer recess with priority legislation that the government needed to take care of, they put off tabling a federal budget until the fall. So we're expecting the 2025 budget to come down in the fall. And in preparation for that budget, we have a freshly announced pre-budget consultation by the finance minister.
Okay, so how is that going to play out? There are two prongs to this.
Yeah, there are two prongs, but they're actually two separate exercises. Minister Champagne, the finance minister, announced an official Department of Finance or Government of Canada pre-budget consultation. So he has invited stakeholders to submit briefs outlining what stakeholders feel should be priority policy decisions manifest in that federal budget. The deadline for submissions is August 28th. So basically, if you want to submit something, you've got till the end of summer to get a brief in. Now, there's also a second parallel exercise, and that's not by the Government of Canada, that's by the Parliament of Canada. The House of Commons Standing Committee on Finance does its own pre-budget consultation. And that one they launched at the end of June, and it closes at the beginning of August, so midsummer deadline of August 1st, to get a submission in. It's essentially a pretty similar exercise, just a slightly different audience. The one launched by the finance minister that's a direct consultation because they are the decision makers on what goes into the budget. But the one being done by the finance committee, by the people, not the crown, is also an important exercise because the report that they table traditionally is meant to be a high-level and important piece of advice to the finance minister for serious consideration of ideas to borrow from and implement in the budget.
Okay, and for the finance minister, he's fanning across the country. Over the summer, you're going to get 25 places, and he's doing that with two parliamentary secretaries, Ryan Turnbull and Wayne Long. Can you explain that process for people so they understand it?
Yeah, it's a supplement to the call for submissions. So on the one hand, you can table a report, you know, table a brief for them to consider your policy suggestions, but there will also be a traveling roadshow of 25 separate meetings from coast to coast to coast. They're trying to hit as many, or at least as broad a geography as possible to allow people locally to come to these sort of town hall meeting type briefings and in person speak and put forward ideas for consideration in the budget. Yeah, as you say, it's being run by three people, the finance minister and the two related parliamentary secretaries, to sort of fan out and hear from as many people as possible. And those inputs are going to be basically similar to the written briefs, suggestions for the finance minister to consider before they finalize the contents of the federal budget.
Is there any other way for stakeholders to advocate for what it is they think could benefit Canadians through the budget process?
Well, those are the two primary vehicles. The finance committee's consultation as well as the Department of Finance consultation. The difference this year is that the timelines are a little bit shrunken. Normally, for example, the Finance Committee, it would have a midsummer deadline for written briefs, then it would reconvene in the fall and have a series of in-person meetings throughout the fall, table a report towards the end of the year in preparation for a spring budget, but they're going to have to shorten all of that because the federal budget is actually coming down in the fall. So they're probably going to skip the meeting part and just work off of written submissions, probably.
Okay, so the precedent for this is typically in the fall, you get the fall economic statement, but now we're going to get a full-blown budget.
Full-on budget, yeah.
On that front, we also are dealing, Canada is dealing with the latest letter that came down from the U.S. President Trump last Thursday, and our new prime minister had said he wanted to get a deal by Canada Day. That timeline has shifted, and again, it's not his to control necessarily. So we got another letter in last Thursday. So we have 35% across the board, and there's a new commodity that's been added to the list. Can you talk about where we're at today and how you think that's going to unfold?
Yeah, as you note, there's been a moving deadline on finalizing a new Canada-U.S. Trade deal. Mr. Carney originally said by Canada Day he wants to update it. Then the new deadline after that was July 16th. That then slid to July 21st. And now it appears that the current deadline is August 1st. It's probably pretty firm-ish because August 1st is also the day when we're expecting Donald Trump to hand out a whole bunch of new letters to new countries dictating what their tariff rates are going to be. So the negotiating teams between Canada and the U.S. have been going full tilt, working towards a new deal. But as you know, there are some new threats. Very recently, Donald Trump has announced that outside of the Canada-U.S.-Mexico Free Trade Agreement, any trade item or service not covered would be subject to a 35% across the board tariffs, with a couple exceptions, but those exceptions have a higher rate. Steel and aluminum are already tariffed at 50%, and there's been a new announcement that copper is also going to be tariffed at 50%. So it's a special rate for a really high value commodity that's important to the modern and tech-oriented economy. And Canada, of course, just like steel and aluminum, exports a heck of a lot of copper to the United States.
Where does that leave us as we're trying to negotiate a way forward to mitigate the impact of not being able to largely control what's happening to us from external allies, but also a kind of future-proofing our economy so we're not at the whim and mercy of any one or two countries?
Well, the saving grace for the Canadian economy so far is that trade conducted under the Canada-U.S.-Mexico Free Trade Agreement so far has been exempt of all these arbitrary and ever-changing tariff rates. So the real magic for Canada's negotiating team would be to make sure that as much as possible is going to be included in the revamped trade agreement. Ideally, even steel and aluminum and copper, if they can manage to have the new agreement cover these commodities, theoretically, it should be possible to get them exempted from the new tariff rates. That's, I think, what we're waiting to see if the Canadian team is successful in managing that.
Okay, well, I'm putting my faith in Canada. What about you?
Well, hey, we've got a very good negotiating team in Canada. They're tough negotiators. They're recognized as such internationally. And, you know, hoping for the best and hoping for a successful negotiation, yeah.
Okay, well, now, just to close, I want to put in our negotiation. We typically have a custom in Canada before a budget where the finance minister goes out and gets a new pair of shoes.
Yeah, I mean, this is a cute little tradition in Canada. Finance minister sporting a new pair of shoes on budget day. And there's always some kind of a symbolic value to those shoes. Sometimes it's, hey, a new pair of running shoes to demonstrate that we're going to hit the ground running. And other times it might be a sleek pair of loafers made of seal skin from Canada's Arctic, symbolizing the importance of including all parts of the Canadian economy, whatever it is. There's always some sort of symbolic value attached to that.
Okay, well, I think the symbolic value should be we have a globally recognized Canadian shoe designer named John Fluvog.
I'm actually wearing a pair of John Fluvogs as we speak.
Yeah. We're both Fluvogging right now. So my pitch would be, Minister Champagne, please go to the Fluvog store in the Byward Market in Ottawa. It's two blocks from the hill. And consider getting a pair of Fluvogs.
I do think it's a great idea because showcasing a celebrated world-renowned Canadian designer would be totally on brand for the buy Canadian sentiment that's dominating Canadian politics right now.
Go Fluvog.
You betcha. Thanks, Heather.
Thanks, Yarrow.